I'm John Landecker, 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in. And into the studio, our good friend and longtime acquaintance.
Yes, sir. It's always good to see you.
Steve Dale. Here he is.
Thank you.
How are you?
I am okay.
Just okay?
Yeah, you know.
I can't imagine a Steve Dale that's just okay.
Well, I had a terrible day.
What?
Yeah, so I was looking. Have you ever looked for something in your dresser and you know you've got it, and you cannot find it?
Happens almost every day. I'm not kidding.
What?
I'm not kidding.
I wanted, one of the reasons, I always love coming on the radio with you. I always love coming on the radio, period. However, there was a reason why I wanted to come on. If you recall, I stopped you at the 100th anniversary party.
Yeah.
I said I have a vintage and old, that's...
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
A vintage t-shirt with your picture on it. With call letters, three letters.
Three letters, yeah.
A place where we both used to
be.
A long time ago.
Right.
And I wanted you to sign it. I swear, it looks like an earthquake hit our house. My wife came home. She said, "What are you doing? Every t-shirt, I've got like literally 100 t-shirts. And they're all over the place. One is like on the ceiling fan, you know. They're everywhere. T-shirts on the floor, on the bed, under the bed.
And where's mine?
I cannot find. No, I've got it, John. It's so disturbing."
Well, you know. Maybe the dog ate it.
No, I hope not. No.
No.
A dog, that's too valuable.
I understand.
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be somewhere. So when it turns up, you know, it'll eventually turn up. The thing that happens to me is I go looking for something.
Yeah.
And I can't find it. And I look and I look and I look. And I'll say to my, ask your wife. I say to my wife, "Hey, have you seen my fill in the blank?" And she goes, "Oh, yeah, you mean right there?"
How did they know?
I don't know.
They always do.
Mine always does too. Exactly.
You know how many times a day I lose my glasses?
Tell me about it. It happened to me this morning.
And you know how many times a day she finds my glasses? And she reminds me of this every day as well.
So ask her to look for the t-shirt.
I did.
And she says, you know what she's going to say? You're wearing it.
That would be me. But actually, once that happened, when I was looking for my glasses, they were like on top of my head. Yeah, yep.
Sure, that's happened to a lot of people.
It's humiliating.
Where are my glasses? Oh, they're on the top of your head.
Yes.
Yes.
Literally. I know.
Are you okay, though? You've recovered from not finding the shirt.
No, I really want to find
it. You'll find it.
It bothers me on several different levels.
I can understand.
Yeah.
But you'll find it.
I will. I'm determined.
We'll still be here. You can come back. We'll do it another time.
You better not go anywhere.
I'm certainly not planning on doing that.
Okay.
So let's talk about your special area of expertise, and that is basically dogs, cats, animals, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, all
including
the
rats and everything else.
Oh,
tonight.
Well, there's a great rat story.
Oh, I know. I heard.
Yeah. So
I mean, I don't know what it is, but I heard from my producer he's got a story about rats. I said, okay.
Yep. Your producer knows rats. So
he works with me. Yeah.
So you think of rats and you don't think of happy things, right? But pet rats, domestic rats, are actually very smart, and they're wonderful interactive pets, and they are so incredibly trainable. So how trainable are they? If there is an earthquake going forward, or in Chicago, a tornado, there is a contingent, a crew, a group of rats? I don't know, but there's a group of rats that have been trained to go search for people because they can get into places that dogs cannot. So a dog can say, oh, there's somebody in there. The rats are going to do this. They are actually going to go into the crevices, you know, of these destroyed buildings that people are under, and with little backpacks on, with a microphone, and the person can interact with the rescuers using the microphone delivered by the rats. The rats can then go back and even deliver snacks to the person who needs them because they can get into this area.
Come on.
No.
Who does this kind of training?
A rat trainer.
Well,
you don't know any of them?
Yeah, but where? I mean, what? This is obviously not just some normal trainer act. You know, people training rats, period, is not something that you think about normally.
It's a brilliant
training rescue rats that go in with microphones
rescue
on their
rats.
Backs.
Rescue
and
rats.
And delivering food. I mean, that's a... this is something that's done nationwide, or?
Well, it hasn't started yet, but it will.
Wait a minute. It hasn't started.
Well, no, there hasn't been.
Are you making this whole thing up?
No, I
yes,
am really.
You are.
No,
I'm going to tell this story about rats. It hasn't happened yet, and I'm just going to make this whole story up.
No, I wouldn't do that to you. I mean, this is absolutely
true.
They
sound like DoorDash rats.
312-981-7200. If you've ever had a pet rat, you can confirm that pet rats are smart enough. So there are rats.
I'm not saying that a pet rat wouldn't be smart enough to do this. I'm just saying, where is the training center?
I don't know that.
Well, where'd you get this story?
There's a little house. Training center. Little tiny house. Rats, I'll tell you what rats can also do.
Where did you get this story from?
It's
all over the news.
Well, the animal news.
I guess I'll have to Google it.
You can. So
rescue
I'm looking
rats.
At one. Rats trained to carry tiny backpacks into earthquake zones so rescue teams can talk to survivors.
I mean, it's a very high-minded, wonderful concept.
Dr. Donna Keene in Glasgow is the person who, the 33-year-old researcher who thought of the idea and began to create these little backpacks, because they have to be made. You can't get them at the store where you get backpacks. Tiny backpacks.
So, with two-way microphones.
Yeah.
And also a little speaker so that you can hear your rescuer talk to you, and you can talk to your rescuer through the rat. And then is that how you place your order? Do you say, I'd like...
I'm trapped under this building. And
can you send me a Giordano's pizza?
Yes.
Very small pieces, please.
I wouldn't lie. This is so. You know what rats can also do, by the way, just in case you were wondering.
Oh, I am now.
They can detect mines, landmines.
Oh yes, now I've heard about that.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're landmine detecting rats.
Right, and you see their remains all over the place.
No. This is going south. This is not right. Oh, I've got more good news for you.
Are we going to talk about dogs?
After the break, maybe.
Wow, he knows how this station works.
Yes,
720 WGN. 720 WGN, good evening. John Landecker at 18 minutes after 8 o'clock in studio with me for this hour. We've just decided. Steve Dale. We were talking about rescue rats, and lo and behold, right there on the text line, 312-981-7200 from 847 Daily News. It's a link. Trained rats help rescue earthquake survivors. But I don't know if that article includes
the little microphones.
Food delivery.
Wouldn't that be great? I mean, okay, so let's say, put yourself in this awful position. A tornado hits, and you're in the sub-basement, and you've got the entire building on top of you. You can't immediately get out. You're going to be hungry.
You're
so
welcome.
Having a little pizza would be good.
Gwen from Jefferson Park, the story is real, like Steve Dale announced.
You see?
But then I have to see this story now, because this has just got me totally... I have so many questions how it would work and who does the training. And I mean, you have to, okay, so the rat, we're going to spend this whole half hour on these rescue rats. what do we call them?
Rodents.
Disasters happen. Is that a good term? Not a good term, but
rescue
is that
rats.
No, but I mean, they go into earthquakes
or tornadoes.
Buildings that have fallen down or whatever, where there are people alive and down there and they're trapped.
Yes.
And they send in these rats.
Mm-hmm.
And the rats, in case you're just joining us, these rats have little
backpacks,
which are...
Have a microphone.
A microphone and obviously a little speaker.
So
that when the rat arrives at its destination, I would assume there's a person outside of this area who's tracking the rat.
Yes, with GPS. Yes.
And has a microphone. And when the rat arrives... In front of the person.
Yeah. You got it.
The person goes, how? And this person, I mean.
Is it a talking rat?
Who's
making that sound?
And so they can converse back and forth.
Yeah.
The person who's needs help and the people on the outside who are going to provide the help can communicate through the device that's on the back of the rat.
Yes, sir.
And the rat can bring food.
Why not?
More than just cheese?
No, the cheese probably won't make it.
How much food can a rat bring in?
Whatever fits in the backpack. It has to be a very small pizza.
Ratatouille?
Ratatouille, okay, very nice.
A ratatouille or whatever it's called. All right. Well, we're gonna have to get into that some more at some other time, because that is just fantastic.
I know.
That is just fantastic.
I mean, doesn't that make you feel good that if this yes. building were to fall right now and you were to fall to the basement and 18 floors plus are above you, that a rat may come and rescue you? It's got to give you a good feeling. And
I'm pretty sure they probably work here. All right, so.
or once did.
Or once yes, did, yes. Yes. Well, let's. Oh, we're getting all sorts of activity on the text
line.
Oh, my goodness. I'll have to go over them during the bottom of the hour and see what people are saying here, because there's so many coming in. Well, let's move on to...
Asking you who you sleep with?
Okay. Yeah. I saw this story. This story was like last week or something, wasn't
uh-huh.
it?
Yeah.
This is a cute story.
Yeah, it's an amazing story to me. But I want to back up a step here and point out that more people than you think... share their bed with their dog, with the family dog.
I do. My wife and I do. I have, ever since I've ever had a dog.
Same.
In fact, I will summon the dog if the dog has not already showed up on its own. Colt, get in here!
The bed is yours.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Birth control also. According to the American Pet Products Association, nearly half of all dog parents now... share their bed with their dog.
Yeah.
Another poll suggested that 25% of dog owners say they prefer snoozing with their dog compared to their significant other.
Well, I'm not going down that quote-unquote rabbit hole. Otherwise,
or rat hole.
You'd have to send a rat after me to find out to my rescue. I understand that that's true of some people. I don't feel that. But you know, I there was a point where I was making... jokes with someone about, you know, the difference between, and I'm going to blow this now, but, you know, the idea would be that, well, I don't know about my wife, but at least every time I come home, the dog is jumping up and out and happy to see me. No matter whether I've been in a bad mood, good mood,
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Always happy to see me.
Always.
Yeah. Oh, going crazy. Oh. So... having a dog join you in the bed is something that I think is quite normal for people. Although you said it's only half?
It's about half.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I thought the number would be higher.
Yeah. For cats, it's wherever they want to sleep.
Yeah, good luck. Usually sometimes on your face, but other than that.
Yes, on occasion, yes.
So what's the story with...
So one day, Julie Johnson in a town called OK, Tennessee, woke up, turned around... saw her husband, Jimmy, and a stranger next to Jimmy in her bed with four legs. A big brown dog was sleeping between them. The thing is, they have three dogs, but this was certainly not one of their dogs. Now, there's a doggy door in the house, but it remains a mystery as to how this strange dog made his way into the home, squeezing through a very small doggy door opening. Did the dog have keys? They just don't know how the dog made it stealthily up the stairs into the bedroom, onto the bed, without any of their other dogs noticing.
Where are the other dogs?
The other dogs were sleeping at the other end of the bed, smaller dogs.
Four of them.
Three.
Three.
Now four total. In the bed, yeah. How did anyone not notice until the morning? And her dogs didn't... I mean, tell me, if a dog came into your house, would your dog say, woof, woof, something's up?
More than likely.
Yeah.
After sniffing appropriate areas, yeah.
Most dogs would tell you there's another dog here that doesn't necessarily belong here.
Right.
Apparently, the Johnson sheets and mattresses must smell just right for this dog. The Johnsons couldn't get the dog out of their bed either. They figured out who the owner was by looking at the dog tag. It had the phone number. The owner lives down the street. They called the owner who came. Couldn't pull the dog off the bed either. Actually, had to lift the dog up, to get it off the bed. This dog did not want to leave. And to me, it's a great commercial for the mattress company.
Well, wait a minute. It's not, it can't be the mattress. It's something about the people and the dogs that are already there.
I don't know.
It has to be.
Maybe.
I mean, dogs don't judge their resting place by smelling a mattress or a sheet.
What if it's a Posturepedic?
But, well.
And it was on the right setting.
Actually, you know, the dog setting is 57, whereas the human setting is 83.
That's what I'm saying.
But really, the attraction, someone should be able to come up with an answer to that.
It has to be smell?
And a feeling of total being safe. You know what I mean? And I'm going to lie down in this bed with these other dogs and these human beings, and I'm gonna sleep here, even though this is not my house and nobody knows how I got in.
The dog's name is Nala. And then the very next day, Nala escaped again and came right back. Didn't make it as far as to the mattress because the owners were still up and the dog was in the yard. What is it about these people that had never met Nala before?
You know, I have a story that's somewhat similar to that, but it doesn't include a dog coming into the bed and sleeping, and we wake up in the morning and there's this dog. But I was, where we were living, outside doing some sort of yard work, and all of a sudden this dog that I've never seen before, has no tags, no nothing, comes boop, 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 bouncing down the, hello, I'm here, how are you? I'm so happy. Yeah. I'm so happy to see you. Oh, happy to see you. The dog lies down on the ground, stretches out, belly up, give me a rub. I've never seen this dog. I bring it inside. Oh, this is such a great place, yada, yada, yada. The dog spends the night.
Okay? Really?
Yeah. And we had...
In your house?
Yeah.
And that's cool.
And we had another dog, and they got along fine.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day, we go out, and I'm working in the yard, and yada, yada, yada. And the dog leaves, walks down the driveway, and is gone. I go, well, that's that.
It's an Airbnb for dogs.
Lo and behold, maybe like 5 hours later, here comes the dog right back in. It's crazy.
Did you ever find out who this dog belongs to?
It's a long story. I don't want to get into it because there are some other people. Oh. There are some people who don't deserve to own a dog who actually had this dog.
Yep.
And the dog was such a lovable. It was so lovable. This dog, and young, and just
that's heartbreaking. The most though, in well, a way.
I made sure my wife and I made sure that this dog ended up with the right people.
Good.
Okay. Because it was so incredible.
Well, what I happen to know about John Landecker is a dog lover, so that doesn't, not surprise me.
But, you know, every once in a while you just run into these totally accepting animals who just want to be your friend, and they have no other...
I mean, what is it about some people some of the time? I mean, once I recall, I mean, it wasn't that long ago, I'm just walking down the street with our dog, and the dog was pulling so hard to come to me. I had never met this dog before. It pulled right out of the woman's hand.
They can tell.
I don't know.
Dogs can tell. They've got a sense. I'm sure they do. All right. More with yes, I'm taking a break. You know, they get this so bossy around here.
I know this. I noticed that.
They come in.
But you've got a really good one.
I know that. That's one of the reasons that he's good is he always yells at me when it's time to break.
We have to stop.
Yes, but we'll be back.
Good.
Right now, it's the bottom of the hour. Time to get a WGN Newsroom. 720 WGN. Good evening. John Landecker at 837 in the studio. Steve Dale.
I am.
You are. We are. And we're moving on. If you're just joining us, I'm not even going to backtrack and tell you what happened in the past half hour.
But people they won't believe it.
Well, you might want to check it out later on the website. It is pretty amazing. So, let's see. Animals, Steve Dale. That would seem to go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Cats.
What's new, pussycat?
Said Tom Jones. Okay.
Here's
the answer.
They can perform. I'm talking about cats.
Cats.
So, this show is amazing.
What's it called?
The Amazing Acrocats.
Okay.
And what they are a combination of a rock concert, the musicians are cats, and Cirque du Soleil. So you have cats doing acrobatics when they're not playing musical instruments.
And where does all this happen?
Well, it's happening at the Greenhouse Theater on the north side, 22 57 North Lincoln Avenue.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Now through the 12th of June.
What are the show times? Do you know? Do you
have... I don't know the exact show times. What,
it's called the Acrocats?
Yeah. Amazing.
The Amazing Acrocats.
Because amazing.
Well, it's amazing.
Yeah,
I don't want to leave you the
got it. I know. It's clearly.
So how does a cat...
play a piano?
This is, sounds like a setup for a joke, but how does a cat play an instrument?
Well,
any way it wants to. No. How does a cat play
an instrument? Well, I had a cat that played the piano.
Did it walk on the keys, or did it actually just play a tune?
It played a tune. Mm-hmm. So here's what happened. We had a dog.
What did it play?
Improvisational jazz.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You had a dog.
We had a dog that did animal-assisted therapy. Then it was called the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And would entertain children, but also motivate them to do things that therapists could not get them to do. Animal-assisted therapy is really quite amazing. And my wife did that primarily. And she came home one day, and Lucy, that was the dog's name, knew all these different behaviors and said, "You have to teach our dog something new." I said, okay, and I was thinking, okay, what do I do? So I went to Toys R Us, and I bought a little kid's piano. You've seen them?
Sure.
Little pianos?
Yes.
And I brought Lucy the dog into a room. I closed the door and began the process of, it's called clicker training. So you click, you give the dog a treat. The dog understands over time. A click means something really good. And then you shape the behavior so the paws lifted a little bit. You click, give a treat, a little more, toward the piano, a little more. We were only in the room 10 minutes or so, and Lucy was lifting her paw a little bit. We were kind of getting there, but I didn't know. I didn't close the door all the way. And in the room walks Ricky the cat. And Ricky looks at me and looks at the dog and looks at the piano and goes, ping, 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 ping. And I thought, what am I fooling around with this dog for? So the dog goes out of the room, and I've got a virtuoso, this kitten. He was then a kitten named Ricky. And it was such an odd thing at that time that a cat, today people train cats to do all sorts of things. But way back when, no, the people didn't do that. And TV stations were amazed. So he was on a bunch of Animal Planet shows and National Geographic Explorer. It was before YouTube. And he was on television stations locally, for sure.
Your cat.
Yeah, Ricky.
Ricky the cat played the piano.
Yeah, we'd go to Petco and PetSmart and do recitals. True. Raised money for shelters.
That's great.
Yeah.
And would Ricky perform was there a command that you would give?
Yeah. Play,
and there it goes.
All I would have to do is take out the piano. Once, it was for, I think the Oprah people actually had a real piano teacher knock on the door. I've still got the segment on tape. Knock, knock, knock on the door. She was a Southern, y'all ready for the piano lesson? And she was so serious. You know, and they've got a TV crew there and everything, right? You'd think that might throw off some cats, but not Ricky. She sat down. And she said, "Now, Ricky, you've got to practice. I want you to hit that key and that key. And if you pointed at something, he'd do it." So he played the exact key she was pointing to. And she was amazed. She said, "Oh, this is marvelous. But you have to." And she was, again, really serious. It's like, yeah, it's a fun TV segment. She didn't get that. You've worked with people like that, right? She was totally serious. So Ricky then looked. It's a cat. So Ricky said, apparently in his head, "I'm not playing anymore." And she said, "You've got to practice, 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 practice." And she's yelling pretty much at this cat, who's like looking at her like she's crazy. And then she got up, said, "Last week I worked with Luther Vandross. He listened to me. You need to listen to me too." True story.
So how many keys were on that piano? It was a little kid piano, right?
I don't know. 16, so 12.
If there was an actual little tune that the human knew in their head and could get, by pointing at each appropriate key, the cat would hit that key, they'd play that tune.
Right. That's what she was trying to do. And she couldn't figure out completely because it was I'm sure it was off tune. It's a little kid's piano, so she was frustrated by that. And the cat at some point wasn't cooperating anymore.
Yeah, wanted a what?
So she was upset.
The cat wanted a Steinway. That was it. You know cats. This little thing's not going to do it for me anymore. I want a Steinway in there.
Clearly.
I want it now.
Clearly.
More with Steve Dale when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN.
What's so funny?
I'll tell you in just a second. 720 WGN, 848 with John Landecker, Steve Dale. So, Steve.
Yes.
You've started a TikTok thing. What do you call it? A TikTok
page?
Page?
Yeah, I think so.
And what is it for?
So, our new kitten.
Yes, you have a new kitten.
Oh, yeah. I mean... Mm-hmm. You know how it is when a pet passes away. And we had a cat that was with us. We were talking about sleeping with dogs or cats, right?
Yeah.
Every night I was in town for nearly 20 years, our cat slept like right here, right in my arms.
Right.
And the night after he passed away, it's like, you know, the house was empty.
I hear you.
Even though it was a little cat.
Right.
You know? But we went ahead and we thought, okay, we're going to bring some joy into our life. It's been a long time since we've had a puppy or a kitten.
Right.
So we the kitten's name was going to be Barney Fife.
Yes.
But as I saw pictures of Barney Fife.
Yeah.
And my wife then, people told her, your cat's not purple, is it? They're thinking of the purple dinosaur, Barney. And we didn't
really.
Want, yeah, so we didn't.
They didn't get the
no
Andy Griffith.
No,
really.
No, what's wrong with people?
So they're too old or young. Rather.
Young, I guess. Yeah. But they're rerun.
Or
all
too
the,
old.
No, never.
Never, of course,
never.
Not.
So this little kitten has a mustache. So the kitten's name is Groucho Marx. I tried to wipe off the mustache.
How does a kitten have a mustache?
All right.
Come on. What do you mean he has a mustache? He or she or...
He.
He has a mustache.
He does.
Let me see. Oh, my God. The cat's got a mustache.
Yeah.
So that was your TikTok.
Yeah. Do you recognize the song? Hello. I must be going. I cannot stay. I'd like to say... I must be going. Groucho Marx.
They don't know who Barney Fife is, but they're going to go for Groucho Marx.
I don't.
Is that
know.
What you're saying? Say the magic word.
Yes.
So how long have you been on TikTok?
All day.
No, I mean, when did you start your page?
A few days ago.
How many followers do you have?
Not many.
How many? Come on.
41. What's so funny?
Well, you got to start somewhere.
I know.
So these are going to be all TikTok videos of your cat.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Our cat being introduced to the dog. Our cat's first veterinary visit.
Oh, you're going to get a ton of people. Come on.
I hope so. It's the cutest cat ever.
And then you're going to get the cat to endorse products and perfume and clothing. And the Kardashians will come over.
I hope.
And it'll just be a whole thing.
It's Groucho _ the funny cat.
I love it. Groucho _ the funny cat. Check it out now on TikTok.
You bet your life.
All right. Let's move over to an article I saw that you wrote at Steve Dale PetWorld.com. Doobies are dangerous for doggies and all pets.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking marijuana.
Yeah. So the legalization of marijuana, I don't know how you feel about it. I don't know that it's a bad thing or a good thing, but it's not been a good thing for pets. So if you get a drug...
Mm-hmm.
From the prescription from CVS or
dispensaries,
Walgreens or whatever.
They're called.
No. If you get a drug,
A drug.
Then what do? You take it home and you put it in the medicine cabinet.
You bet.
Right?
Yeah.
If you get something from the dispensary, you put it on the countertop. If you get an edible or if you get something with chocolate cookies that are laced with you know what, you put it on the countertop.
You don't have to say you know what.
I don't anymore?
No, you don't have to say it anymore.
Okay.
It's not 1979. You don't have to say you know what anymore.
That's special stuff.
It's legal in Illinois.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
So people put it on the countertop.
Well, leaving edibles out and animals being attracted to them, I find that to be a totally understandable yet you must avoid it situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So imagine, I mean, you know that chocolate is toxic.
First of all.
So it may have chocolate, but what's more, it may have xylitol, which is an artificial sweetener. If chocolate is dangerous, and it is, xylitol is even more so.
But what's that got to do with the marijuana?
Because the edibles or the cookies may have chocolate in it, right?
Yes.
And they may have xylitol in it, particularly the edibles.
But what about, forget the xylitol, forget the chocolate.
Okay.
What's the negative effect of an edible with THC in it on an animal?
So that is an excellent question, actually. So CBD products, the non-hallucinogenic.
Yes. Part. Yes.
They can be beneficial to pets. I can talk about that separately.
But this is completely asking you.
This is THC,
right,
which is marijuana, and that's completely different. And that can cause severe seizures,
sure,
in pets. And imagine you take a cookie or two or three. The pets can be eating the whole thing. You are 100 pounds, and the dog might be 35 pounds.
Right. So I understand what you're saying. The effect of the dose is obviously way more on a smaller body.
Correct.
Now, I've seen this in pet stores, and I'm not going to name the name of the pet store, although this is one of the greatest pet stores I've ever been in my life.
Hmm.
And they carry a line of CBD animal products.
Sure.
Not THC.
THC is bad.
No,
CBD might not be.
Right, but it might not be. What is the question with the CBD?
We don't know exactly. So studies, it's complicated because here's the good news. Studies have been done, and we do know that for certain types of seizures in dogs, CBD can be beneficial. We do know that for osteoarthritis in dogs, CBD can be beneficial. And we're learning more every day as studies continue.
Right.
The problem is there's no regulation on these products.
Mm.
So some of the CBD products may contain trace elements of minerals like arsenic that you don't want in anything that your dog is eating.
No.
So that's the problem.
No.
The product that comes from China that's available, say, at a convenience store that you don't know anything about. Exactly.
Right.
So think twice and talk to your veterinarian. The problem is,
in some places,
veterinarians aren't allowed to talk about it, believe it or not.
What do you mean they're not allowed to talk about it?
Because it's not legal for animals in every state.
Well, so what? I mean, if it's an adverse effect on an animal, how is a vet not allowed to talk about it? Just because it's not legal, so what?
Things like be careful, but they are regulated by the veterinary practice law, and they really aren't supposed to talk about it.
That's ridiculous.
Well,
I would think that anything that has an adverse effect on an animal, a veterinarian should be able to address, whether it's legal or not.
I agree with you.
Thank you. I want to point out one thing in the very brief period of time that we have left here, Steve. In your Doobies Are Dangerous for Doggies and All Pets article,
yes,
you refer to, as for marijuana butts scarfed up by dogs, they're not called butts.
What are they called?
Roaches.
Yes. You see, I'm not hip you are.
No, well, I'm just glad
I didn't even know it was legal until you just told me.
Oh, sure you did. Get out of here.
That's why I come on your show. I learn these things.
Marijuana roaches, not butts.
I thought roaches had six legs.
No, not these.
Okay. Well, they might if I have enough of it.
Steve, this has been a blast. 630 says Steve and John are hilarious together.
I like the billing.
So
thank you.
You're coming back soon.
Anytime you want.
Thanks for being with us. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.